Welcome to Dark Box Archive. I am Andrew.
I'm Ty.
And I'm Josh.
And we're your hosts. Today, we're diving into the topic of phishing and how it affects your personal and business cybersecurity.
Yeah, phishing is a very common and dangerous cyber threat out there.
We're going to explain to you how phishing works, how to recognize it, and share tips on how to protect yourself from it.
Okay, so let's actually define phishing. So what exactly is phishing?
So phishing is a type of cyber attack where attackers will disguise themselves as trustworthy entities that they attempt to trick you into providing sensitive information such as usernames, passwords, and or credit card information.
So phishing, it can be done multiple ways. Email is the most common. It can be done on social media, phone calls, malicious websites. It involves all sorts of parts that goes into phishing.
Yeah, and I think it's important to realize really the goal is to steal personal information for the eventual access into, you know, various financial accounts, be it, you know, individual or business. So just kind of moving on, how does phishing exactly work?
All right. So phishing is just, it's tricking somebody. That's all it is. There's no technical aspect of it, really. You can go technical if you want to and get a little high tech, but really most people that are doing phishing attacks are not, don't have to be technical. You just have to be able to type up an email and send it to your target, but you that email has to be somewhat convincing to trick that person. I'll give you a little example of how, like, a phishing.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, Josh, you're a white hat hacker. You know, what are your duties? So kind of give us some, you know, sample operations that you would do for a phishing attack for our listeners.
All right. So I'm going to, So I want to gain access to, let's say, Ty's Facebook, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to first set myself up with a phishing page somewhere that I can send Ty to, and he's going to believe it's Facebook, and he's going to enter his contact, his password, username, and, you know, I'm going to get his information off that website. So I have to set myself up something like that. I go clone Facebook's login page. It's not a complicated process.
So when you say cloning, you're talking about basically
the HTML
recreating what the actual Facebook page would look like to the normal user. And so basically trick Ty, right?
Yeah. Ty, what's the source code key on your computer to see the source code? It's what, Control S or no, that's save.
To view code?
Yeah, to view the code, the source code of the page. Can't.
Control I? I don't know. I just right click inspect.
Okay. It's easy enough. Anybody can go see the source code of Facebook. You can just go up, right click on it, view source code, and you can copy all of that code and paste it into a new document.
Yeah. I mean, granted, the CSS will be off.
Yes, that's one thing you do have that will be off. That's why you need somebody, why somebody as a white hat hacker or a criminal is going to go get somebody like Ty that understands how to make this stuff work if they don't understand it.
Okay.
They're going to fix it up and it's going to look just like Facebook.
Exactly.
You won't be able to tell the difference. Only difference will be that URL up there. You know, it's I'm probably gonna have to go buy something, some random URL name, and put a subdomain of facebook.com.xyz.net, something that fact. It's gonna be, there's no way to get Facebook's actual URL.
So what you're saying is the key red flag indicator is looking at the URL or the address of this fake Facebook website.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Cause if you can't really fake that, if you look at that URL, like, you can put Facebook in the front. That's not hard. But it's then, like, the end of it, what people will do, will they put a whole bunch of random characters in there to make it very long so it doesn't fully show up. But if you ever click in it, you can see the whole thing. And that's a dead giveaway. Facebook does not freaky long ones.
Okay, so walk us through, once you've basically created this fake Facebook page, then what are your next steps as the phishing operation?
I'm gonna go write myself a really good email, something that tells Ty that he has to take action right away or something bad is gonna happen,
like my account was already compromised.
Yeah, tell him that his account's already compromised. Like, oh, your account's already been compromised, please log in here to stop the account, or you're imminently about to be locked out for some weird reason or something to that effect. You got to set fear in the person that if they don't act right then, something bad's going to happen.
So really just using that, the human emotional aspect of fear in this case, for them to quickly take action. And from, you know, what we've seen before too is, you know, if they threw in there some personal information, it makes it even more real, correct?
Oh yeah. And you get personal information on anybody, anywhere. It's all over.
Right.
Everybody leaks it unless you go do the work of cleaning it up. It's out there.
Yeah. And then, you know, the other thing that, you know, I've seen, you know, within the instance that we've reacted to, is how well these phishing emails are now. And we know that a lot of that has to do with major hacking operations that may not have been using English as their first language, but now with ChatGPT and other AI platforms, you know, anyone across the whole world can now really recreate a very official sounding email, in this case from Facebook, to you know, further their phishing operations.
Oh yeah It's so much easier
with AI now,
AI machine learning. It's so much easier, especially for the non-English speakers, because now seeing the misspellings and stuff like that in an email, that's not going to get you by. That's not guaranteed anymore. Not that there's some weird things that AI does in their text that you can identify as, like, that's not right. That doesn't look right. Nobody would do that. But that's hard to catch. You got to really be looking. So
once this fake website is created, what is the type of information that you're trying to collect? Is it just their login information to get into Facebook, or what is really the end state for that hacker?
It depends on what their goal is. So one of our clients, they lost. Somebody took control of their Microsoft account. Well, instead of going just for the credentials, they went for the cookies, the login key. So they stole that through, once the you know, you're logged into Microsoft, and then you go to this other page that looks benign. Well, that page is really grabbing your cookies and stealing whatever data from your browser it possibly can that it then can use to go turn around and log into Microsoft using that, or Facebook, or whatever account they're trying to get. What they do now, a lot of what they do nowadays is they go for both. They go for your username, email, your password. They try to get everything they can from you. They grab the cookies too while they're at it, because they don't know what they're going to get. So it's just like, grab everything and then sort through it. So, you know, you might think, hey, I'm a nobody, but you're logged in your company's website and you're cookied there, and they're able to take that cookie and say, hey, we can use this. I got this randomly from this random person.
And through all the various data that, you know, they can collect via the phishing operation, hackers can also basically take over an individual's phone, which will help with two-factor authentication to get into their bank accounts and things like that, correct?
Yes, but that's a lot harder. Not your average everyday. It's possible, but that is not your average everyday cyber criminal. That is very targeted, very, I'm coming for specifically this person, and I want...
Right. And I guess the reason that I bring that up too, though, is that we've seen within the various businesses and individuals that we've helped out where they use that same password for all their various accounts, financial accounts, you know,
that's
their emails.
Yeah.
You know, their phone accounts and et cetera. So, so I think that, you know, that's a big thing that people have to realize is that one click of that phishing link, can cause serious issues.
So the thing is if you have two-factor authentication set up on that account, I want to say like 8 times out of 10, it's going to protect you from losing control of that account if you have two-factor authentication set up. The reason I say 8 and not like 9 or something like that is because if you have two-factor authentication set up on, let's say, an account and it's through your phone, it's through an email, it's through something else that you can easily lose control over. But if you have two-factor authentication set up through a key, a two-factor authentication key, or through a password manager, those are not going to easily just be stolen. But there's also like, and this has happened, we've had clients where this has happened to them, sadly. They'll click on it, they'll put their username password in, and they will have a two-factor authentication code request be automatically sent to, let's say, Facebook, and then Facebook sends back the request and they link them, so they automatically get logged into the account. It's not as common, and it doesn't happen as much. Like it happens, but it's not as easy. You see more advanced level criminals doing things like that. But that two-factor authentication still going to protect you from the vast majority of attacks.
Right. I mean, unfortunately, it's, you know, we've seen where two-factor authentication is not the standard protocol within businesses and in individuals' lives. So no, I'm glad that you brought that up.
And the thing is like, the reason they don't do it is because somebody in the company finds it to be too much of a hassle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It,
yep.
it's one extra little step, and it's not that complicated of a process. You just gotta calm down, and if my children can do it, you can do it. I promise.
Okay. And then, so what other examples of phishing is there? You know, I know people automatically want to think emails, but I know that, you know, there's other social engineering tactics that are used, from, you know, phone calls, faking phone calls, to, you know, going into an actual place of business and pretending you're somebody else and tricking them into giving information. I know there's tons of other instances outside of just what is done online. Can you kind of explain some of these other examples?
Okay, so this is where we go into the customer is the most vulnerable to these type of attacks, because they have no way of controlling what the
human
business...
factor, the human factor.
Yeah. Well, I mean the customer, like as a customer, you can't stop a phishing attack, which is voice phishing. It's just voice.
Okay.
You can't stop somebody calling in to, let's say, to T-Mobile, and T-Mobile's gotten a lot better about this. I know they have, because I have dealt with like T-Mobile for other clients, and T-Mobile's gotten a lot better. But, you know, you call in pretending to be John Smith and know enough about them, like, you know, their phone number. I'm pretending to be them to get them to change information on their accounts. There's a great video out there. And, you know, for training and stuff, I recommend seeing it. This lady at Black Hat conference demonstrates how she takes over this guy's account by calling in and pretending to be his girlfriend or wife, something to that effect, and have a baby crying in the background, and somebody's like, oh, she's having such a hard time, let me just add her to the account, skip verification processes, all of this stuff, and she's into the account by pretending to be your non-existent significant other.
And a lot of the information, if I remember that specific video, is a lot of that was just information that she quickly gathered from various open sources to really make it sound like she knows this person well. But on top of that is, if they had even more extra data from a phishing attack, then that makes it even easier for accessing someone's, you know, phone account information, right?
Oh, yeah. She gathered majority of everything from open source. You know, you can identify the phone number easily, like who's a provider of that phone number. So you get somebody's phone number, you can easily look up who's that provider. So you can find out if it's AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, online. It's very easy to find. So then I know who to call, and then I just need to know whose number it is. That's a lot of easy information to gather. And then, you know, socials are not as obscure as they were supposed to be. It gets leaked. You don't know what breach you're in. I mean, the data's out there. And the more information you have on somebody, makes it easier to do phishing calls, or like Andrew said, going into in person and showing a fake, like pretending to be that person, saying, hey, I lost my wallet. I lost my ID because of this, that. I'm trying to fix these accounts. I lost my phone. That's why I'm calling from a new phone number. But the person's able to tell them everything about those. So let's say you want to gain, somebody wants to gain control of somebody's, I don't know, bank account. Even though banks have gotten a lot better about this, it used to be a lot easier. I'm saying a lot of things. I will say a lot of companies have gotten better. So as consumers, we're a lot better protected. But, you know, I want to get a hold of somebody's bank. I don't have access to this phone number anymore. I don't have access to this or that. You can come up with reasons for this. I go into the bank pretending to be this person. And I don't think, I'd hope this wouldn't work. I don't know if it would, but I pretend to be this person. Hey, I lost my cell phone. I lost, you know, somebody broke into my car. They stole my wallet, stole my phone. I don't have anything. What can I do to gain access? Well, one, they're hitting on the person's feeling of humanity to that other person. Like, oh crap, this person just lost their wallet, their phone. They lost all this stuff. And they feel bad for them. And then, you know, they don't have it. So, okay, is there a way to work around this? Well, I know what it was. Well, okay, we'll take that as, you know what it is. Well, I know what this stuff is, but, you know, I could look that up online and find out what it was too. So,
right.
It's the biggest threat to businesses, to personal people, because it doesn't require that much technological ability. It just requires the ability to lie very well.
Right. And then, you know, what we've also seen is an initial phishing attack will be done in furtherance of a larger goal phishing attack. You know, such as we kind of touched on a little bit earlier of, you know, an employee getting phished and attacked, you know, personally, and then the hackers using that information to then gain access into a business who, you know, obviously is more of a lucrative financial target, you know, or it may be more than financial. It may be, you know, an attack by some international entity for specific corporate data or something like that, as we've seen. So, but irregardless, yes, phishing is attacking what we all know as being the weakest link in cybersecurity, and that's the human factor. And you know, kind of touching back on AI and how a lot of these various organizations are using that to, you know, develop better messaging and whatnot is extremely important. And we'll definitely get into how AI is being used for various hacking operations and whatnot. But okay, so let's move on to, so we had kind of touched upon it earlier, but recognizing phishing attempts, you know, what are some various red flags that we can use to alert ourselves to a phishing attempt?
I think the first thing you tend to do is check the email address that's coming from. They try to like mask it usually, but if you click like the down arrow next to it, you can see that it, if it's a phishing email, that the sender is going to be like some random string of words or a name that's similar to whatever company they're trying to imitate. But oftentimes they are definitely not legitimate.
Hey, there's recognizing attempts. It's just like, there's so many people out there that's call, like if your bank calls you, that's a flag. Doesn't matter if it really is your bank, but if your bank calls you, that's a flag. You hang up, you call your bank back. Don't ever let, like, even if it's legitimate, I mean, completely, but never trust it.
And going along with the whole bank calling you is, you know, especially, you know, what we've seen in some of our cases is where it tends to be very urgent or threatening language. You know, there's been, remember the one incident where someone thought that they had a warrant out for their arrest, and you know, they need to hurry up and pay this fine, or this warrant wasn't going to be sent out to law enforcement units for them to get picked up. So, but yes, that is a good thing to remember of recognizing, you know, what a phishing attempt is, and then the immediate red flag that should go up.
Or I'm Microsoft, and I found a virus on your computer. Let me access it, and I'll fix it for you. Microsoft doesn't call anybody.
They don't have time for that.
Like Ty said, it's like emails are easy to catch, cause as long as you're pay attention, because you can spoof people's email addresses. You can spoof people's phone numbers too. Flags are anything that where somebody is wanting, like I said at the very beginning of this, it's a fear tactic most of the time. Where somebody, if somebody is trying to use fear to get you to do something, you need to immediately question what is going
on. Should be a red flag. Yeah.
Fear is always a red flag. That applies to almost everything in life, I think. You know, a threat, you know, hey, do this or I will do this. Usually very, there's something they're trying to get you to do because they want you to make a bad choice. People make bad decisions in stressful situations.
Yeah. And even if an email sender looks legitimate and it provides links in the email, you should definitely not click the links immediately, right? You should hover over them and see if the address matches the legitimate website's address. Otherwise, you'll be clicking into a situation you probably aren't prepared for.
Yeah, when you hover over it, look at the bottom left-hand corner of your browser. It'll show you the actual link that you're about to click on. But better yet, don't click on the links, like Ty says. Just it's not safe. Unless you know, I click on links all day, but I know what I'm doing to protect myself, because it's my job to investigate this stuff and know what's happening, what the new things are out there. And I take precautions because I know what's going to happen if I click on this link and I don't take these precautions. But if you're not in my business, don't click on the links. It's really that easy. If there's something, first line of defense, if it does, you know, if the person contacting you doesn't look legit, and then if they're trying to use fear to get you to do something, that's another one. And then if it's some weird link that you shouldn't, that looks funny, don't click on it. Those first three things will protect you from most phishing attempts, period.
Yeah, and I mean, definitely giving some good tips on protecting from phishing. And the other thing that I know we've often said to our clients is, you know, you really need to be informed of the latest various operations. You know, just that self-education factor of all things cybersecurity is something that, you know, I think everyone needs to be in tune with, and something that we definitely push out. And then then Josh, kind of talk about how, you know, those obnoxious update messages that we get on our phones and our laptops, how important is it to actually click on those annoying little tabs and update our systems, which causes an annoying pause in our life?
So, man. Updating, we get to go on a whole topic of making sure updates hit. But there is a technique out there of bombardment, basically. So I want you to approve my login I constantly sit there and get the Microsoft Authenticator or whatever to ping you saying, hey, approve this. After a while, people crack and they just say, here you go. There's your access.
They do?
Yeah, people will do it. We've had it happen to somebody. Like,
wow.
They will sit there and say, I want access to your account. You'll get a text message saying, do you authorize a push notification to your phone saying, do you authorize this device? No.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back seconds later. Do you authorize this? And then, you know, in you end up clicking and you gave them access because you got frustrated. It is a real thing. And, you know, if you don't, like, having an up-to-date system will protect you from phishing too. Because if you do fall for whatever and it's not a target, they are targeting a vulnerability, not just your login information. Because like I said, they'll take a wide approach of like, okay, we're going to go for cookies, we're going to go for passwords, we're going to usernames, we're going to go for everything. And we're going to go for system exploits. So it's going to exploit your system and install some virus on your computer or something like that. If you have an up-to-date system, the chances of your computer your computer becoming a victim of this is pretty much non-existent. Because what they're doing is looking for those non-updated systems with this. It's just mass attack, see who this takes. You know, I'm going to throw 1,000 emails out there, and maybe one person is going to be vulnerable to this. Didn't update their computer. That's all it takes for that you to be that one person for not having the updates.
It's a very common thing too, right? Otherwise they wouldn't be doing it. They're obviously gaining some sort of success because people don't update their systems, right?
Yeah.
It's such a hassle sometimes. Like anything that's a hassle to us, they're trying to exploit. Whether it's two-factor auth or updating our systems or using strong passwords that are different from each other, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and here's the thing with your passwords. You fall for the phishing. I'm not going to criticize anybody for actually falling for it because it happens. Sometimes it is so good that you fall for it.
Sometimes it is, yes.
And this is where Ty said password manage again. If you are using, let's say you fall for a phishing for your Facebook, all right? Maybe you have two-factor on there and your Facebook's protected, but they still got your password. Well, you use something like, let's say, I don't know, password 123-FB for Facebook. But then you go to Microsoft and you go password 123-MS. You think you're being slick. But I'll tell you, any criminal that looks at that is going to go, now, let's change that last two. Most likely I can go from, I got your password on Facebook. I'm going to go try your login to your bank. I'm going to go try your login to Instagram. I'm going to go try your login to your email. I'm going to use that password everywhere I can possibly try. Because if you're not using different passwords with a password manager on every login, sooner or later, you're going to get breached. You know, somebody's going to make it in there because you reuse those passwords.
And I think it's important to realize that, you know, having these precautions or seeing these various red flags for phishing, that's just one line of defense. Because eventually, you know, businesses will get breached through phishing. And that's where, you know, other cybersecurity lines of defense being established within that organization is extremely important for it to not go further.
Phishing is, I think, you know, the target, but you know, we could go on forever about it.
Right. And then, you know, again, just making sure that your software and security systems are up to date. You know, it just blows my mind how many people do not update their phone or their computers. And then, you know, if you do see a suspicious email, you know, please forward that email to the business that they're pretending to be, because that's extremely important for that business to know that, hey, someone is out here pretending to be us. And, you know, we've seen it where, you know, businesses will have to put out a disclaimer saying there is someone out there pretending to be a hiring manager for us. This is not us, you know. So just having that community involvement of, you know, sharing these various phishing attempts and whatnot is extremely important. And, you know, we like to say this, where, you know, cybersecurity, it takes all of us. It takes, you know, just everyone to be involved to help protect each other. So I think, you know, that's, you know, we had a lot of good discussions on this. So I appreciate everyone for listening. And hopefully, you know, you found some of this phishing information helpful. If you got any questions, make sure you contact us, you know, post some questions on our Discord. Josh, Ty, you have anything else?
No. I mean, if you like this video, definitely give us a thumbs up, whatever you have to do to let others know that you found this content worthwhile.
Yeah. You know, darkboxsecurity.com is our website. Join us at Discord, darkboxsecurity.com/Discord. You know, we're here to help. I love answering questions and, you know, dumbing it down for anybody that needs it, because we can't all be experts of the same damn thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, till next time, stay safe and secure.